heels make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Welcome back, listeners, to another exciting episode of Bills and Beers, the Buffalo Bills podcast. Here from the Bills backers of Illinois, it's an intimate session today here at Bitter Pops. One of the favorite haunts of Sujeet, who's the president of the Bills backers of Chicago, joining me.
I started the Bills backers of Chicago so it could be the Lincoln Station be filled with Bills fans, not Pats fans, kids. Come on!
We have a story that I can't wait to hear about an altercation between Sujeet and several Pats fans earlier tonight.
I'll kill all of you.
He got some wings to go, so that's a plus. 24-17 was the final. It was a contest we've seen many, many times before. We're not going to waste any more time. Woo! Excuse me. And we're going to get into it. Just search for Bills and Beers on the internet. Give us a review. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. All that shit.
And go Bills. And still go Bills.
All right. The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head. So last week in primetime in Pittsburgh, 17 points was enough to beat Duck Hodges. Today, under the lights in New England, 17 points was not enough to beat Tom Brady. And, this one actually, I can't wait to hear about your fight at the bar. We just mentioned, however, that it doesn't sting like other Pats losses of the past. You had a different experience having it rubbed in your face. So we will get to that. It wasn't all ugly. 24-17, it was mostly ugly in all the worst ways. But Suj, we'll start with you. You're Labatt Blue MVP of today's contest.
I literally have not thought about my Labatt Blue. But I'm going to first give the Labatt Blue to myself while I think about the other answer, because I'm going to follow the trend of this podcast and say that I was the only son of a bitch that represented Bills and Beers at Lincoln Station. And yes, I got there a little bit late. I got there maybe 3 minutes late, and I didn't claim our space ahead of time. And there was a solid group of people that were just sitting on the corner of our tables, our reserved tables, that they called me at Lincoln Station and said, "Hey, you want these tables?" I said, "Yeah, I want two, because I think there might be people coming." And I got there, and there was three people in Bills uniforms, and I said, "Hey, yeah, y'all can sit on the side of this table. Great, you know, that's fine, because my family was there." And then all of a sudden I was like, "Oh, but I don't like this fucker, and he's wearing a Pats jersey." And I said, "Well, but they're with Bills fans, and I really have no justification to take these tables." But the point is that the entire game, the bar was filled with casual Bills fans. I am so freaking tired of casual Bills fans. And I'm going to get this into my Jenny Cream Ale. But the point is that I'm the only one that was sitting there screaming, yelling. I mean, even, you know how Cassie gets mad when they do the shout song inappropriately?
Were they doing that shit
They
today?
Weren't even doing that enough.
Were they at the bar? Were those guys there, those clowns?
I don't know. They were there, but once in a while someone would do the shout song, but I was just like, my God, what is going on? Saturday night at Lincoln Station is about Saturday night at Lincoln Station and not about the Bills.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it was all the casual Bills fans. They claim to be Bills fans, but they don't know anything about the game. They don't know anything about this team. So I'm giving it to myself, but if I have to give a Jenny Cream, a Labatt Blue to a player, I am going to give it to Cole Beasley.
Ah.
I'm going to give it to our wide receivers. But, oh, God, I want to not give it to them. Actually, absolutely, unequivocally, this week I'm giving it to our wide receivers because they got open against a very good secondary.
They had a good day.
And it leads into what our Jenny Cream Ale should be, at least one of them, and that these guys got open against a great New England secondary, and someone couldn't get them the ball. I don't know who that we're going to talk about, but someone couldn't get them the ball. These guys were making plays, and I'm giving my Jenny Cream Ale, besides myself, who screw you, Lars, and screw you, Cassie, I had to fight against Pats fans in my house.
More on that in a second.
Okay.
I hate myself for doing this. I'm giving mine to Corey Bohorquez.
No. I had a great game.
Yeah, I know, but
We started this podcast.
I probably should have worn my freaking Mormon jersey.
No. Yeah, if I would have found out you were wearing your Mormon jersey, I would have showed up to the bar just to rip it off your body. But yeah, I mean, John Brown turned Stephon Gilmore inside out on that long bomb. Cole Beasley had over 100 yards on 7 catches. Wide receivers were fine today. Deion Dawkins got a touchdown catch. But Bohorquez,
there are no drops. There are no big drops.
Okay, well, okay. So I will go first here in the Jenny Creamale portion because I know I want to hear about your fight. Although another Labatt Blue MVP that we're remiss in not mentioning would be our friend from Down Under.
Yeah.
Who flew all the way to the U.S. of A. to watch a Bills game, has been listening to Bills and Beers for the last 4 years.
Rowan.
So he wanted to know what bar to go to, listen to the podcast, Lincoln Station in Chicago. Sorry we couldn't be there to represent for his sake.
That's another reason why the rest of the Bills and Beers crew is a Jenny Cream Ale. But the point is, Rowan came up to me after I almost choked off a Pats fan. I swear to God, I almost killed him. But Lars, this is why you're there, okay? Because when you lose your mind, you know, it usually doesn't come to choking someone. It's usually taken out in a ketchup bottle. But... you know, we're all there to, like, be like, bro, it's okay. He's an asshole. It's okay. There was no one there. My family left because they knew that
bad
things were
happening. Wait,
who's the
asshole? I'm the asshole?
Well, you're the asshole for not toning me down.
Oh.
And that after a day, after the entire game of dealing with Pats fans.
Let's get there in a second. I want to get there in a second.
So let's talk about Rowan. So after I almost killed someone. Rowan was like, I was a little scared to come over because you seemed pretty pissed off. and then he came over and he's like, hey, I'm Rowan. I've been listening to the Bills and Beers podcast for the past 4 years. It's really great to meet you guys. What's your name? And I was like, oh, I'm Sajin. He's like, oh, you're Sajin. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, where's the rest of the crew? I'm like, they're not here. And so, but the point is that this guy has been such a great Bills fan. I mean, he spent some time. He met the Rockpile Report crew when he was over there in Buffalo. And I was like, all right, so what's the story? He's like, you know, I was in Chicago, so this is the place I wanted to go. I want to come here, and I want to see the environment. He's like, it's a great environment. I was like, this is not the typical Lincoln Station environment. There's a bunch of, like, casual people here. But still, he loved it, and he came over, and he talked to me afterwards. This guy's only here for the Bills.
Incredible.
From Australia.
And he came here in December.
Yes. And he's going to the Jets game next week.
Good for him.
He showed up and I was like, are you here for work? And he's like, no, I'm here for the Bills. And I was like, holy shit. And I was just like, you know what? For all the half-assed Bills fans that were there in the bar today, even Rebecca, who was solid girl from Fairport right next to my hometown, knew the people that, you know, own the deli that I used to work at growing up. But you brought the wrong people, girl.
Mm.
And but Rowan, that's Bill's Mafia. Rowan just showed up after the man flew 13 hours. There's nothing else to say. That is the Bills player of the week. That is the Labatt Blue player of the week.
So I know you want to pile on to Josh Allen in the Jenny Creamale portion, and that's fine.
Yep.
That's fine. Except it wasn't Josh Allen that gave up 414 yards of offense.
Oh, Josh Allen's not the only problem.
And 143 yards
We're
on
not,
the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't the one that refused to dial up blitzes on third and short. He wasn't the one that couldn't dial up a second and long to save his life.
So let's talk about this.
And here's the thing. All week. If you would have put a gun to my head, I would have told you, yeah, the Patriots are going to run the ball down our throat. That's what they're going to do. This offense doesn't stay dormant all season. It will come alive. It'll come alive when they need to win at home to win the division. Okay? That's what this team does. We talked last week about mature teams and teams that just turn it over on the top and the bottom of the roster. And it doesn't matter who you are, plug and play on the offensive line. It's just next man up, and they are just the same team year in and year out. Well, one of the things they do really, 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 really well is scheme to run the ball. And they ran the ball all over the Bills. And it wasn't in big chunks. I mean, I don't think they had more than two long runs of more than 10 yards. Nope. Maybe, I don't know.
It definitely feel that way.
It was just consistent. 5, 6, 7, 8 yards.
On first down.
On first down. Every time.
I guess in my genetic email.
That's why we lost this game. In fact, I would have told you, I think 17 points wins it. I would have been.
That was what every single person in the world said. The first team to 17 points wins this game.
And we got to 17 first, and then they scored 11 unanswered.
They sure did.
And, you know, a lot of people out there, well, Bills, you're getting close. Well, looks like we may have somebody that actually challenges the Patriots over the next decade. Fuck any of that shit. And first off, like, I don't want to be close. I don't want to be there. I didn't have any expectation we would be there, but being close does nothing for me either. And also, the Patriots are on their way out. This shit is going to be over. We're going to be good when they're bad. Like, there shall be no rivalry. There will never be a rivalry between these two teams. They will always be lopsided. We're about to be better than them. They have been better than us for a very long time. Okay? We've also won at Gillette Stadium twice since 2014, so it's not unthinkable. And when we did so, we beat, everyone likes to put asterisks next to those wins, we beat two guys who are starting on other NFL teams this Sunday, Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay? They weren't exactly scrubs. It can be done. And when Brady's gone, it will be done.
It will be done. And the point is that this team, maybe it's too much pressure, maybe it's too much whatever, but we often said, hey, this team doesn't win three games in a row, right? And, you know, we have played nationally televised games over and over and over again, and we've won them. And that has been incredible, and that's why it's been so great to be a Bills fan.
Yeah, I guess.
But at the end of the day, you're right. I don't want to be close.
No.
I don't care. I'm not going to take a moral victory in this situation.
The only thing I wanted to see today
was... The moral victory was against Baltimore. But this game was not about the moral victory. I wanted to take the wounded duck, like I said last week, and bury him into the ground.
Did they look wounded today?
They sure didn't. That offense against any other team would have put up numbers.
That's not the offense that has been eulogized over the last 6 weeks.
Tom Brady was accurate. Tom Brady was running the ball. Tom Brady was taking hits. Tom Brady wasn't scared.
That said, they did cheat several times.
Yo, they cheated all the
Also, they cheated.
Time.
They got caught cheating 2 weeks ago.
Right, but you have to know that that's the game that we have to play against the Patriots.
So sick.
That's what Mike Tomlin said. Oh,
I wanted to see Pats fans filing out of the stadium. I wanted to see kids crying. I wanted to see, like, I'm just so sick of overjoyed Pats fans who know fuck all about what it means to cheer for a football team because they've had fandom handed to them on a silver platter.
And the moment a
tiny bit of pain and suffering sets in, they're out. So yeah. Fucking to those people, and I want them out.
And then, you know, we got players ejected. We got nonsense happening from the officials.
Wait, who was ejected?
I don't know. At some point, I heard
something.
Jordan
Phillips would have been ejected.
They
made the thing like, he does that one more time, he will be ejected.
They actually said that he does that one more time.
They always do. They say whenever it's a because you get like two personal fouls or two
right.
Unsportsmanlike
but when
conduct.
A Pats player performed CPR on Josh Allen, nobody said anything.
Or when they grabbed his face mask
on
4th-and-1,
that was blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
God damn it. Like, okay, forget it. You know what? That's an argument that we've had for the past 15 years.
It's not going to change.
And that's not an argument we have to have anymore.
It's not why we lost.
Forget it. We're not having that argument. We are a different team. We don't need those calls. We're going to punch them in the mouth and beat them regardless of those arguments. And we were close before in the season, and we are a better offense now, and we still didn't do it, but we were close again. We scored more points this game than we scored last game, and our defense... You know,
gave up 5 scoring drives.
Gave up a bunch of yardage.
Zero
and a
on
bunch
short fields.
Of, yes.
Five
and,
long
right,
scoring
it was
drives.
Defense. It was defense. And so that gets to my Jenny Cream Ale bummer of today's game. It's all on defense. It is all on
I'm
defense.
Glad
and I
to
will
hear
give
you
a little
you
bit.
Walked away from Josh
I will,
Allen.
I will give a little bit to Josh Allen and I will give a little bit to the offense. But it is all on defense because you know what? Josh Allen is not the reason that first down always ended up in second down and less than 4. I mean, that is just ridiculous. You cannot give up 7 yards on first down against Tom Brady. You want to make him look like a bad quarterback? Well, I got a clue for you. When you did, When you did stop him on first down, what happened? Second down was an incompletion, or second down was a sack, or second down
was
a hit.
Third and long, they had no prayer.
Third and long. I mean, I would love to look at the stats, but I don't care anymore because I almost killed a Pats fan. So, I mean, that was first down. That's my first Jenny Cream ale. My second Jenny Cream ale is fucking tackling fundamentals. How many missed tackles did we see? People, we had the right play called. And this goes for offense and defense. Don't you dare talk about Brian Daboll. We had the right players in the right position, ready to make plays, and we missed tackles. Whether it was Matt Milano, Jordan Poyer, doesn't matter. And I'm not saying these are bad players. I'm saying our good players missed tackles. The things that we pride ourselves on, our fundamentals. But Chris Sims, when he was talking on one of his shows, he has like 17 shows. How does Chris Sims have any shows? But he was noting the fact that, oh, wow, the Bills had 16 missed tackles. Man, usually you miss 16 tackles, it's a definite loss. Well, it came back to bite you. And it wasn't about turnovers, but it was
about
missed
tackles.
When do
we have 16 missed tackles?
The last game against the Steelers, we had 16 missed tackles.
Then we must have been swarming then, and then the second guy got him.
Well, right. But we weren't doing that this game. And so the missed tackles bit us in the ass this game. And so missed tackles and first down are definitely my Jenny Cream Ale, but I do want to give a shout-out for my Jenny Cream Ale to Josh Allen, because all I've complained about is don't you dare talk about Josh Allen's inaccuracy, because receivers are dropping balls.
Yeah.
Receivers are dropping balls. Well, we saw him hit on some critical long throws. We saw him hit Cole Beasley in stride, which we've been asking him to do. And what happened? Multiple decades of yards, right? But in the first half, he missed those throws, and we kept saying on our group meet, settle down, Josh Allen, settle down, Josh Allen. If you want to beat the Patriots, you have to play four quarters, not two. You cannot just be good in the fourth quarter. You have to play four quarters of football. That is what will make Josh Allen an NFL franchise quarterback, because we know he has the ability. Because it's not like New England was laying down and letting us just get yardage in the fourth quarter. You need to get your fucking balls on right before the game starts and play like a goddamn superstar at the beginning.
Well, more on superstars in a second. The unfortunate part about his performance in the first quarter, and this is why
there were so many opportunities, Lars.
He was
there
bad.
That's why I will give not a pass to the defense, but a bit of a pass, because the time of possession sucked, and it was because Josh Allen had many opportunities to extend drives, and the throws were so far off, and those throws would have extended drives, and that's why the Labatt Blue was the wide receivers. They were open.
And then
they were waiting for that ball.
But then the defense in the first half only gave up 10, and then Josh Allen connected on two huge plays to get them all back.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the first half was like, okay, well, that couldn't have gone any worse or better, and we got right back to zero. And then the third quarter was great, and then the fourth quarter, the wheels came off. I will say this. So, again, the thing that stings the worst about the way that Josh Allen played in the first quarter, because you're right, he couldn't hit the ocean falling out of an ocean.
And when we talk about, like, oh, Josh Allen can hit the side of a barn,
that was bad.
First quarter, but that's exactly what we saw.
Unlike anything we've ever seen.
It is. And then, so everyone that says that Josh Allen is inaccurate, go fuck yourself, okay?
But that's the unfortunate
part. One quarter.
Yeah. But
it was a quarter we needed.
It was a quarter we needed. It also, like, justified or, like, validated a lot of the false claims that many people still make about this poor guy.
That's all they'll talk about.
That's why it was frustrating. Now, I will also say, okay, so not winning this game, it doesn't sting as badly as winning this game would have been sweet. And winning this game would have been sweet for the obvious reasons, winning in Foxborough in December with the division on the line, on national TV, all that stuff we talked about last week. But the big reason why it would have been sweet is because it would have been like, hey, the Bills went to Dallas on Thanksgiving and they cleaned their clock. Then they came home and played a near-perfect game against the Ravens, the hottest team in the NFL. And if not for a couple offensive miscues, they were right in that game too. And then they went on primetime in Pittsburgh and beat them too. And then they went to, and it would have been like, holy shit, who is this juggernaut football team who's finding their stride at the end of the year? Do we really think that this Buffalo Bills team and this defense in particular, because we're talking about miscues and doing tiny little things wrong, which they didn't do last week, which they definitely didn't do against Lamar Jackson. Does this team, or do many teams, have four consecutive games like that in them? When you close your eyes and think about the top performers on this football team, they're all in their first 3 years in the league. This is a young, inexperienced, maturing team. And I'm not, again, I'm not trying to say that we deserve some kind of moral victory.
No, fuck moral victory.
Or that we should get some level of credit for showing up and looking like we belonged. But if we had to be honest about our expectations, to put together four flawless or four, you know, eye-opening...
Four wins, period.
Well, it would have been three because we lost one of those games in spite of a near-flawless performance by the defense. To get that 4 weeks in a row in four major spots, that would have been the wow factor. And we didn't get it. Because, you know why? Because we're not a wow team. Nobody thought we were.
This game was gravy. Let's be clear. I walked into the bar thinking that I don't really care. I'm not really emotionally attached to this game. If we win, great. Lars, like I told you, I invited everybody that's been bad juju. And I'm going to tell you about what the bad juice, what the last Jenny Cream Ale.
I think this is a good time to transition into that.
Yeah, and the
like
I
you said, it wouldn't have stung except for.
I wouldn't have cared. And
the
I
floor
said,
is yours.
Forget it. I don't care. I wore the same clothes. I will tell you that. I will say I wore the same clothes that we've won for all of the games that I've seen them win this year. But I didn't change my watch to the light blue Bills color. My family, I was like, yeah, come on over. And I said, hey, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to exercise all the demons because we have exercised all those demons. We can't win in prime time. We can't beat, you know, beat in big time games. We can't beat good teams. We've exercised all of those things. And this has been the revenge tour against the Titans and the Cowboys and the Giants and all those other things. And I said, forget it. I want to exercise all of it. I want it to be done. So I invited everybody that has been a bad luck charm for us watching the Bills. And none of them came. My family came for a bit. And it was bad. But you know what? We did too much, Lars, and that's one of my Jenny Cream Ales is us.
Wait, what's the... No, wait, hold on.
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Yeah,
I'm going to get to that quickly. I'm going to get to that. But one of the Jenny Cream Ales is us. We just started to take stuff for granted, and we didn't feel the need to be at the bar. And Cassie's off skiing in Denver, and Lars, very much excusably, is taking care of his five-week-old. But the point is that we lost focus, just like the Bills lost focus. And what happened? When I showed up at the bar, there were a bunch of people around my table. And that is my fucking table. Let's be clear.
Can I caveat that with, yeah, like, you almost throat-punched a Bills fan last week for being too positive and enthusiastic in our business.
Getting in our business.
We like our space. We like to hear from listeners.
Talk to me.
If you're a listener, come hang out, have a beer, stay for one set of downs. Because after that...
And don't talk during the fucking play. Right.
We like our space.
So I had these fucking millennials led by Rebecca. I love you, Rebecca. You're a Bills fan from Fairport. God bless you. But you invited a bunch of fucking Patriots fan. And then you invited one girl who is a Green Bay fan. She's a Green Bay fan. So she should be beloved by us. But she's wearing a fucking Pats hat to give support to her buddy for moral support? Are you fucking kidding me? That's what you wear to a fucking Bills bar? Like, were actually a fan of a respectable team.
They could have gone to the Pats. Oh, wait, there isn't a Pats bar in
there
Chicago.
There is a Pats fan. There is on Armitage Avenue. There's a Pats bar. And they said, oh, we don't usually come here, but this girl asked us to come with us on set. And that's the problem. It's Saturday night. They all want to hang out. And so their focus is not the Bills. Their focus is on their Saturday night hangout with you fucking millennial bitches. Oh, God fucking damn it. don't you come to my fucking Bills bar anymore. And all you Bills fans that show up there, if you are not focused, don't show up. I would much rather have a fucking 10 people that are all about the Bills than all you casual fucking Bills fans. Fuck you. You are not part of Bills Mafia. You are not even a shred of Bills Mafia. You have nothing that, oh, that Bills Mafia stands for. All these people just show up. Oh, yeah. Well, let's come with us. The Bills game is on. They're playing your team. We'll have fun. No, fuck you. Because you know what? The Bills chant wasn't loud. When we were on third and down, suddenly people weren't fucking banging the tables like they were in October when our season was over 2 years ago. When it meant nothing, the people that were there were Bills fans. They were intense Bills fans, and they were banging the fucking table, wanting to win against all odds with Tyrod Taylor and with fucking Trent Edwards and with J.P. Lossman. There are people that are born and bled Buffalo Bills blue and red. And here we are with you fuckers. Our one time to exercise the final demon that we asked for this year. And you were just there to show up. You were just there to have your fucking mimosas like you do on Sundays. You were just there to just to be there. And yeah, let's invite a bunch of Jets fans. Let's invite a bunch of Patriots fans. The only person that I loved was another Dolphins fan. And that's incredible because I told him, I was like, you know what? You're the only person that hates the Patriots more than me. Right? And so... so I am giving at least an honorary Labatt Blue to you broke-ass fucking Bills Mafia fans. Don't bring them. You know what? I am the president of the fucking Bills Backers of Chicago, and I will tell you, you are persona non grata. Don't you bring your goddamn fans from the other team to my bar. And yes, you know what? I will say that, and Ben will back me up as owner of Lincoln Station. This is our bar. This is our Bills bar. We took this bar away from the Browns. We took this bar well past Delilah's. We took this bar into the stratosphere. This is the mecca of the Bills in the Midwest.
Ask Rowan.
Ask Rowan. Rowan came from Australia. Guess where he showed up? He showed up at Lincoln Station because that is the mecca. You do not bring a Pats fan into Lincoln Station. You do not bring any other fan that is not ready to put on a Bills jersey and do everything it is in their soul to root for the Bills. How fucking dare you in this moment, in this era, when we are turning the tables, we are making a different Bills team. This is not your grandfather's Bills team, and I will not have you ruin that by bringing some broke-ass little bitch-ass Indian kid, and I say that as an Indian so I can say it. Second of all, I will also not have you bring casual fans that don't care about the Bills. One girl, one girl, Lars, I will tell you, this little fucking Asian girl, and I'll say that, I said her race, and I'll tell you exactly
you're
why I said
Asian.
Her race, is because these motherfuckers tried to put chips and salsa on the table. Anyone that knows me and that knows Bills and Beers know that chips and salsa is a sore point for me in particular. We've done everything to exercise the chips and salsa demon. We ordered it every week in the Tyrod era to make it better. It didn't help. And then there was me with one elbow on both tables saying, this is my house. No one will take it. And these motherfuckers tried to order some nachos. I picked up those nachos before they could touch the table, and I threw them in their face, and I said, you will hold these nachos. They will not go on my table, or you will get the fuck off my table. And they held the nachos for the rest of the game. They had no right. Not on my table. And then I was like, everyone's dead. Everyone is dead to me. My whole world is dead to me. The Bills and Beers crew left me. My family left me. I'm angry. And then they left, and all these seats were open, and a Pats fan tried to sit down, and I said, get the fuck off my chair! He's like, have you lost your mind? Don't you dare! This is my table! You will not sit here! And he left. He left very quickly. But then, once the final tick closed, and the game was over, and I sat there in my ocean of rage, he came back and decided to say, hey, you can have your table.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I turned around, jumped at him, and grabbed him by the throat. And if it wasn't for the wonderful Bills fans that were there that pulled me back, and the Lincoln Station crew that grabbed me by the sweater or the shirt and pulled me back and said, no, 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 dude, it's okay. And I was like, I will fucking kill you, right? And I was like, don't you fucking come into my house. I have been here for 18 years. Don't you dare talk shit to me. So he was horrified. He was scared, as he should be. Don't you come. And also, by the way, Lars, this was not like the typical Suj. It was like the dude's like 7'10". And if like if you weren't there, I would have been scared. But this was a little bitch that I could have definitely driven into the floor. And that's not saying a lot. But so the Lincoln Station staff pulled me back. The Bills fans were like, it's okay. He's not worth it. He's not worth it. And I was like, get the fuck out of my house. Don't you fucking dare do that. And then all the stuff. So, like, I got pushed back to my table. Guess who got thrown out of the bar?
Yeah, he did.
That fucking little bitch-ass Pats fan.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Lincoln Station staff said, you know what?
No,
you don't belong here.
Yeah, you don't get to do that.
Don't you fucking dare come up to. And I told, I was like, he's talking shit to me at the end of this game.
Yeah,
and so, I talked to one of the Lincoln Station staff that I don't know. And he's like, no, of course, bro. I know who you are. I know what you guys are. Like, he's gone. Right? And so.
By the way, that's not the first time that's happened.
It's not the first time that's happened. And, you know, we are not, you know, whatever. When I threw silverware at someone, I apologized. Right? But don't you just come up to us at the end. And you know what? Shame on you for whatever Bills fan invited your friend that would do something like that.
Yeah. So I have so many thoughts. The first thing that comes to mind is last year's Monday night Patriots game on Halloween when a Patriots fan was sitting at the adjacent booth and Cassie and I got there. You had been there for like an hour before the kickoff. I don't remember. It was like your 40th birthday or something.
I don't know.
Was going on, but you were like, when's your birthday?
October 30th.
Yeah.
I was in Florida.
You were celebrating your birthday. I don't know if it was your 40th.
It was probably a birthday, yeah.
Well, it was your birthday.
It was a birthday. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, because it was like the Halloween game. Last year's Monday night game against the Patriots. It was around Halloween.
Oh, so, yeah, 41. 41. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Jesus. But you had gotten a head start.
Yep.
And Cassie and I got there, and you were already screaming at the Patriots fan before we even sat down. And Cassie and I were like, oh, boy, it's going to be one of those games. And
are you there?
Well, that was by the end of it, I had to, like, go over and be like, hey, man, either leave or sit there and take it. And he was like, oh, I don't have to take it. And I was like, yeah, you do. And he's like, why the fuck do I have to? And again, it was some, like, 22-year-old, like, pimply-faced. You made fun of him for having some kind of very specific type of obesity. And you tried to.
I'm literally an expert in
that.
Yeah, you tried to.
You tried to explain to him all the health complications he's going to have as he was being whisked away from the bar. But there have been other people who have been, who've had to be removed from the bar because they don't know how to when to shut up. And you're right. You do often take advantage of me being there. And I have evolved into the person who just quietly goes over and says, you either leave or you sit there and take
it's weird. We all have our own different type of rage. Your rage is like within the game,
yeah.
And you're like mad and whatever. My rage is that I need the environment right. That's why I'm a superstitious person.
So, but the prevailing thought that I had, and this is what I would have gone off on if we had won this game. And maybe I should save it, but I feel like I'm going to come back to this many, many, many times if this team continues on its current trajectory.
We will. I have zero
Which
doubt.
Is, Bills fans, don't be these people. Right now, it means something very specific to be a Bills fan. And when the Bills are good, be gracious to others, don't rub their faces in it, and don't act entitled to victory. Because we've come a long, long way, baby, and it wasn't cool when people were doing it to us. We want to crucify every Pats fan who has done it to us, and they do it to us every chance they get, and they have been for the last 15 years. The challenge to Bills Mafia is going to be not to become these people. And I have my doubts, Suge. I don't know if we become a generational team like the Patriots, which again is highly improbable because what we're witnessing and have been witnessing
Could very easily be a flash in the pan.
Within our, well, it's not a flash in the pan. Like, this is historical. This may never happen again. It's never happened before. So to say that, like, oh, one day we'll be that good, I doubt it.
No, yeah.
But if we are, don't be this way. Don't be like them. And I don't know if the kid...
Don't be a Cowboys fan.
I don't know if...
Don't be a fucking Patriots fan.
If Henrik, for whom the lights haven't totally come on yet, but then grows up his whole life knowing nothing but, like, winning teams and being in the playoffs and competing for a Super Bowl, I don't know if he won't be that way. So it's my role as his father to tell him, do not be that way.
You know what this fucking Patriots fan said to me today? He said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That is literally what is wrong with the world, with the NFL, with everything. This is a game! This is a game!
There are rules!
No, forget that! This game is lived within a moral society. And maybe a fucking crazy bitch can run over a girl and say, I ran her over because she was Mexican, which was highlighted on WGN News.
What?
Yeah.
In Chicago?
Yeah, it's on my goddamn Facebook feed. But maybe that's okay in parts of the world that shouldn't be parts of the United States. But morals should still exist. And if you say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
It's un-American.
It's un-American.
And in being so, one would say it's unpatriotic. How ironic.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
Fuck the Patriots.
Well, that sound means it's time for Tacos Calientes.
It's Tacos Calientes. I want some taquitos.
As we all know, Tacos Calientes is Tex-Mex for hot takes. Jam and Jeff Day down there in Austin, Texas, has got his hot takes for us tonight. Jeff, how you doing?
Jeff is actually going to join us for wild card, potentially.
Maybe, yeah. We'll see. sounds like he's at a swank dinner party, but more on
he
that.
He also might be in a bathroom. That's fine.
Coming at you from Houston, Texas.
Okay.
And watched the game today at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Ooh.
Yeah. How's those Parmesan garlic going, though?
Don't let the Buffalo part fool you.
I think everyone's still feeling the effects. Just pure and utter disappointment and hatred. I mean, those are the two words that come to mind for me. Boy, did I want this one. Boy, did we want this one at Bills Nation. Hence the disappointment. And boy, do I hate. Boy, do I loathe. I just cannot stand everything about this Patriots team. How many times are we going to have to watch the smug faces of Edelman and Brady and Belichick do this to us over and over and over again? And I just can't stand them.
Yeah, fair enough. That's what I was telling the Suge earlier, was that more than anything, I just wanted to see some sad Pats fans today.
It would have been nice, huh? Now, that said, despite all of that, this was the bonus on top to some extent.
Thank you. We haven't gotten to that yet in this pod, that this was the gravy.
You know, and I think that it's funny. I mean, the fact that we feel this way is actually an incredible thing, because it means, like the Bills team has been saying all along, that we actually expected to win.
Yes, Jeff. I mean, thank you for bringing us out of these doldrums.
That is why we feel this way, because we expected to win, which is a new feeling for us against the Patriots. We're not used to knowing how to react to this.
We expected to win in Foxborough.
I mean, imagine, it's sort of crazy what we're saying. And just like the Ravens game, we were, 15 yards from the end zone with chance to win the game or to tie the game.
Hmm. And the Browns game, incidentally.
Yeah. So I try to remember that.
And the first Pats game, incidentally.
That's right. So, again, we've clinched the playoffs with 3 weeks to go in the season. This is not a time for for you know, to spoil what has been the success of the regular season so far and remain a success. It's just, you know, we all wanted this win to culminate in what has been the putting to bed, putting to rest, burying 6 feet under all of the Billsy things of the past, and sort of the one Billsy thing, you know, so to speak, thing left to conquer. The one monkey off the bat, the one demon to bury, was beating the Patriots with a Tom Brady-led team. And I think that's why we felt, well, holy cow, if we could do that today, everything is buried. Everything is put away. And so, you know, we came one win short, one play short, you know, one pass to Dawson Knox overthrown short of doing that today, which is why we feel the way that we do. You know, that said, God, do I hope that we can see these guys again one more time this season. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. So if my calculations are correct, we won't have a rematch again until the Super Bowl or until the AFC Championship. So if we
is that the way it'll go down?
I think because we will.
I don't know.
Because in the division round. Oh, no, fuck. We'll play them in the division round.
Let's play them in the division round then.
Yeah.
So let's win the division a way better way. Right?
Yeah, right. In the
let's
division
win
round?
The division in a way better way. Jeff, you've hit on so many points that have like stuck in my soul today. I walked into this game and I said I wanted to exercise all the demons, right? We've been exercising demons all season, and I said I wanted to exercise the rest of them. So I said I don't care if the rest of the Bills and Beers crew are there. I'm going to watch it by myself. I don't care if you know, my friends show up, and you know, even the people I invited, all my friends that are bad luck, none of them showed up. But you know, like I let a bunch of random people take half of the table that we had reserved for us, and they ended up
and
being
look how that went.
That didn't go well, and I mean, like, Lars probably is gonna have to edit some of the shit that I said, but it didn't go well, and I threw silverware at one girl or one guy, and this other girl, like, literally, Jeff, as I'm sitting there. And I am not allowing chips and salsa on the table, as you know I would not allow when I'm there by myself, because it is my house and my rules. And I made them hold their chips and salsa. This stupid bitch had the right to say to me, oh, you want some falafel? You want some butter chicken?
Oh, no, she did not.
This little fucking ethnic bitch.
I was going to say, I will have... taking most of this out already. Don't make me do it twice.
Okay. I'm not gonna say because we had to cut it out for Miss Day, okay, what I said earlier. I used the C word. I don't care. But this little B is going to say that in my house, right? And so anyways, so the point is that all this game should not – this game, when I walked into this game, I said it's all gravy. Y'all can do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. Does not creepy. But it got so emotional for all of us, right? Because it's the Patriots.
Yep.
And it shouldn't. We all promised ourselves that we wouldn't get emotionally attached to this game because it didn't matter. It was gravy. But man, the disappointment from losing to the Patriots is so deep when we had an opportunity to beat them. And that is sad. But you know what? The only shred of hope that I have here is that, you know what, let us take this piece of resentment and anger and put it into next season. Because if we just beat the Patriots, we're like, oh, we've arrived, we've got this, we're good. And if we lost to Houston or Kansas City in the divisional rounds or whatever, we'd be like, well, we're still a good team. Obviously, we lost to Kansas City. They're one of the best teams in the league. But we lost to the Patriots.
Jeff, what were you drinking on there in Texas?
Today was at the bar drinking nothing but other than Bud Light. So don't have much to add on the beer front for you. I was going to say though, just in terms of, you know, sort of specific to this game, and you know, you guys may have covered a bunch of stuff, but you know, I think you know, it was an interesting defensive strategy that we came out with today. Unlike the past few games, unlike the first game that we played the Pats against, you know, I think it seemed to me that the strategy drawn up was we're going to rush for, we're going to put seven in coverage. That's what it looked like the strategy for the most part was, which has been a little bit of a departure about what has worked the past few games on D. And I think it's easy to judge, you know, it's easy to judge now. I mean, I think overall, though, I think we would say it just didn't work. I mean, the Patriots were able to move the ball fairly effectively. You know, we had the one, punch out on the first drive. We held them at the goal line for 3 points on another. But, you know, the strategy of sort of only rushing four, we did not get a whole lot of great rush with the front four only. And we just didn't get the pressure in front of Brady that you need in order to beat Brady. You got to pressure Brady in order to beat Brady. Yep. We just weren't able to do it today.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
However.
Go ahead.
Okay. We didn't need this game. This was not a must-win game. We know that we...
Why does it hurt that bad then?
We know that there's a chance that we're going to play them again, Jeff. So if we can, on house money, beat them with a defensive game plan that, you know, isn't exactly tailor-made to our strengths and our weaknesses, knowing that if we see them again in the divisional round or in the AFC Championship game, that's when you show them the stuff you haven't showed them yet. Am I crazy? Was today not the day to play that way? Have we not arrived so far as a football team that you don't put stuff like that in your back pocket and save it to when it actually does matter, which will be in the playoffs? Am I crazy?
It's funny that you say that, because we just, if you're under 40 years old as a Bills fan, you've never had to think that way. You know?
Right.
I mean, you've never thought that way in terms of what you're even saying, Lars. You know, I mean, that's what's so wild.
Yeah, except
we don't know how to be in this position.
No, we don't, Jeff, but we got a head coach who does. He came to us from He came to us from Carolina by way of Philadelphia. This man has been in the postseason. And oh, by the way,
he's lived in the postseason.
Sean McDermott can tell you what he's having for breakfast April 12th, 2023. That fucking man plans ahead. He has a vision. There is a process, okay? They have a plan.
I'll tell you what, if the first 15 games of this season have taught us anything, a season in which we are playoff bound, it is that we beat the teams that we're supposed to, and we can play to the last minute of the fourth quarter against every single team in this league.
But you're not going to see the starters next week.
Right.
Expect to see nickel, zone, every play, zero blitzes, receivers running comeback routes, runs up the middle. It is going to be the most boring game.
Hey, let the Jets drop a...
We might lose.
No, but let the Jets drop a spot in the draft.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
you're right, Lars.
I mean, thank you guys. Thank you guys for bringing me back to earth. And that's going to get to what our wild card is. And that like, get some perspective, bro. You know, like, I mean, like, like that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Oh, I've got a great anecdote there. But we will let Jeff go because he's down there with family. Jeff, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Always good, guys. This is why we love it. And I think you're right. You know, the fact that this hurts so badly is a good thing, actually.
You got to keep some fire in that gut.
It's a signal of tremendous progress for our team, and we will, and when we do, by golly, we're going to celebrate.
Oh, baby.
We will beat this Patriots team the next time we play them. I don't care if it's this season or next season.
I think it's
going to happen.
I think it's important to remember that the Phoenix, rises bright, and rises hot. And it goes to four Super Bowls. And then it burns to the ashes.
It takes 30 years.
For 17 to 18, maybe 20 years. But you know what the Phoenix always does? It rises again.
Mm. All right.
Go Bills.
All right, baby.
Love it. Just like last time on my segment, I got nothing left to say after that. Go All Bills. Right.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the episode, which means it's the wild card portion of today's episode.
It's the wild card, baby.
We are missing the lovely Miss Cassie Hutton. I hope she listens this week.
She also needs to know that we love her.
Yeah, we love her dearly. And this wild card is dedicated mostly to her. But before we get to it, I was having a little Voodoo Ranger during the game. It's just okay. The new Belgian.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just okay. There is a new Enjoy buyout right now. It's a double. I had it.
I didn't know about this.
Yesterday was my sort of like a goodbye lunch with a lot of people at work. Wander who got to lunch with me. I was like, I'm just going to go out with these two. I want to go and have fun. So we went to Jake Melnick's, which actually has some of the best wings in Chicago.
Yeah, it does. It's
and,
good stuff.
And some good beers. So I had the Enjoy buy there. Highly recommend. But I'll turn it over to you because we had the Toppling Goliath again today. Quite delicious.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We're here at Bitter Pops. There's a big selection, and one of the nice things they have is a tap your own menu where you can go downstairs and along with, I think they have like 300 beers that you can just select from by the can and have them open upstairs. They also have 8 beers on tap that you can just pour your own. And we've been talking a lot about Toppling Goliath Lightspeed, and it really is that good, and that's the reason why we've been drinking it for 3 weeks in a row. So that's literally all we drank. I mean, I had some Labatt Blues during the course of the game. I'd start off with Labatt Blue Light, then just got to regular Labatt Blue because the Bills weren't winning, and the Patriots fans were testing every little bit of patience I had. But anyways, I left Lincoln Station because it was too much of an angry environment at that point. Like, there was just, I was so angry, and I came back to the Mecca of Bitter Pops where the people are good. You know, you got Megan behind the bar, you got Drew working the front, you got all these good people.
And that's not to take away from the people at the station.
No, we love the people at the station. It's not the people. The people at the station kept me from getting arrested today. But the point is that I needed a release. I needed to just take a moment and come out of Bill's world where I literally wanted to choke somebody to death because that's not a normal thing that a human being wants to do to another human being, but the Bills make you feel that way, especially the Patriots.
Yeah.
And so I came here, and I was like, wow. And Megan behind the bar said, you are not your best self right now.
Oh, she noticed?
Yeah. She said, what's going on? She's like, you know, it's the Christmas spirit. And I was like, yeah, but Megan, they were saying this, and they were doing this, and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, I understand. That's bad. She's like, but that's not you. And I was like, you know what? That's not me. And so I think that's the point, is that this Bills team takes every bit of emotion from you. And it was often in a bad way, right? It was often that, why can't I be adequate? Because you made the Bills' inadequacy be your inadequacy. And it hurts so badly right now to say that the Bills are adequate. So why can't we do it?
Yeah.
And then when someone throws it in your face, you just got so angry. Because, no, that's not still happening. Right? And so I think that's, like, ultimately what the wild card's about is that, like,
They make us do funny things.
Why is it that we all walked into this game saying, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, right? Cassie, you, me, Jeff, it doesn't matter. It's all gravy on the plate. It doesn't matter. But here I am trying to kill a Patriots fan at the bar.
Here we are begging Cassie to come back and join us.
Begging Cassie to join us back on the podcast because she's so mad. Jeff is saying it's one of the most disappointing wins we've ever had, even though we lost to the Pats by 7 points and had an opportunity to win the game within the last 7 minutes, or at least like tie the game. Like, this is in years past, this should have been what. So that's ultimately the question, Lars, is like, when has something just gone off the rails where you made it more bad than it was?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, this is what I want to talk about. Like, why do the Bills make us do weird stuff? Why do they make us say and do things that are completely irrational? Why do we have the reaction that we do? So, the story I shared with you and Cassie yesterday, and big announcement coming from the from the Bills and Beers crew, which we haven't yet shared with you, but we will probably on whatever the last episode of this season is, if not sooner.
It's probably going to be the season, and none of us are there next week. So,
well, anyways, Well, I guess I might as well say it because it goes hand in hand with the story. So
yeah,
I'm leaving Chicago. I've been here since 2006, and I have two kids now, and I have no family here. So it doesn't make sense, and we're heading back east. I got a job, and I'm moving to Philadelphia, where my wife's family's from, and I'm very excited, and I'm excited about the job, and I wanted to say it on the podcast in a different way, but here we go. I mean, that's how it is.
But
the podcast isn't going away.
Will go on.
The podcast will just evolve.
I am a brown man with a computer science minor. I was a computer science major for a while. You think I can't figure out a way
to bring
your voice in a high quality? I built this motherfucking rig.
Do you have any humanities in your long roster of degrees?
Okay. No, I have no humanity. I almost choked a Patriots fan. I have no humanity.
So that's happening. Sorry, but so we are going to evolve.
No, sorry. There's no sorry.
Well, I am sorry because like recording at a bar right after the game is like what makes us, and we're going to do.
We're still going to do that.
We're
going to
do it in some form, but it's never going to be the same.
Don't you dare. Anyways, it's going to be better.
We'll talk.
Going to be better.
We'll talk about this. But anyway, so I just had my second kid, and I'm very fortunate in my current job. That I got paternity leave, and I had 6 weeks worth, and I took about 4.5, and I was heading back to work last Monday, and on the bus on my way to work, I got the call. We'd like to offer you this new job. So I'm going back in the office. I work on a team with mostly young women who just the moment I walked through the door, it's like, oh, tell us about the baby. And my mind is reeling. I'm like, I'm moving to Chicago. I'm moving to Philadelphia. I've got a new job. I didn't know. I didn't know up from down. I didn't know left from right. It was a crazy way to go back to work. But I knew I was going to take this job. I was going to leave the job that I was in. So that morning, I was going around and kind of doing the rounds with everybody. I hadn't been there in over a month, so just trying to get caught up with folks. And the account that I work on, every once in a while, we have to do activations, which means we are all live and responding and doing real-time rapid response during an event. And the event that we do it for every year is the Oscars. And that means we all have to come to the fucking office for the Oscars, an event that I wouldn't otherwise be watching because I think it's the dumbest thing ever. But I have to be
accurate.
I have to be at the office on a Sunday night while this goes on. I don't get paid any extra, and I have to be back at the office the following Monday morning. So that's a sore spot, but whatever. Well, this year I find out that we're doing it for the Super Bowl. And my start date on my new job is January 13th. So my boss is telling me, hey, we're doing an activation. And I'm listening to her say this. I haven't yet told her that I'm going to resign, that I'm not going to be working here. And I know that I'm not going to be working here or participating in this activation come February because I'm going to be in a different time zone, in a different city, working at a different job. But what did I do? I looked her square in the eyes and I said, I need you to know that if the Buffalo Bills are in the Super Bowl, I won't be here. And she looked at me and she said, that's not an option. And I said, well, if the Buffalo Bills are in the Super Bowl, and granted, it's improbable, but if it happens, especially since it's so improbable, I'm not going to be here. And she said, Lars, that's not acceptable. And I said, well, too bad, because that's how it is. And as I'm saying this to her, I'm thinking, what is the matter with you? Just stop talking. You didn't need to say that. You know you're not going to be here. This isn't going to be an issue. You've just made it an issue, and it doesn't have to be. But the thought of having to come to work on Super Bowl Sunday in the off chance that my team is participating in the game, hell no. And that reality overrode every rational bone in my body. Everything that was reasonable and decent went out the window when I went into fight or flight mode and protecting the chances of watching the Buffalo Bills play in the Super Bowl, which again, long shot. So, fast forward this week. Now my boss knows. Weird political stuff. I actually didn't get to tell her the person was supposed to tell her didn't tell her. It was all weird. So like we got together and it was like, that was weird. Like, why did... And the first thing she said to me was, you know, as soon as I found out, I thought right away to our Super Bowl conversation. What the hell? And I was like, I know. She goes, yeah, what is your problem, dick? And I said, yeah, that is totally fair. That is totally fair. I earned that. That's what the Buffalo Bills do to me. It puts me in a different spot. It makes me be confrontational when it's completely unnecessary. And it drove a wedge, granted a temporary one, because now we're all clear on what the role is. But yeah, I just could not help myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously my attempt to choke another human being today was probably a definite indication of the fact that the Bills make you do things that you shouldn't do. But I think that here's the thing, Lars, like, why do we do it? Why do we do it? Right? It doesn't make sense, right? Like, and then that's what it gets down to. Like obviously, like, I mean, my story is that, yeah, I tried to choke somebody
today. I mean,
you've
asked yourself that question in earnest,
multiple
right?
times, right? Like
you've, like yeah, we show up, like, yeah, I wouldn't try this
and
right
I don't
in the world,
do, I don't want to do the same thing that I always do. It's like, oh, because this is your home, this is your family, blah, 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 blah.
There is,
like,
there is no rational explanation.
This is the definition of loyalty. This is, you know, like I've given that, like, that sermon at the end of a pod multiple times.
Did last week?
I did, right? But I think that at the end of the day, it's just that you got to care about something.
Yep.
And if somebody comes at you, no matter what it is, if it's your kid, that's the one thing that I have not talked about, is equating the Bills to the things that are important to you in life, right? Your job is really important to you. Right? My job is really important to me. I love working for my boss.
Okay.
Right? But and if somebody came at you and tried to take that away from you, you're going to punch him in the neck. You're going to grab him by the throat.
Is this the part where I remind you that Donald Trump almost purchased the Buffalo Bills? Imagine that alternate reality.
Yeah, I would not be a Buffalo Bills fan. You know that, right? Like, I just can't.
Anyways,
let's take it aside. But the point is, I love my job, and if someone tried to take that away from me and take me away from the people I work with and my boss, like, I'd grab them by the throat, right? And if someone tried to take away my wife and or my kid, or anything else
my
that
dog.
I love, your dog, right?
And like, you did that for the Bills today.
And that's the thing, is that, like, it just falls into those things that, like, you have a core. You have a core that is you as a human being, right? And it's not rational. If someone talks bad about your kid, they're going to – that's nonsense, right? Like, it's obviously stupid, right? It's – even if a little kid talks about your kid, right? Like, you know, it's just a little
kid. I'm putting
that
little fucker on blast.
Right? You know it's just a little kid, but, like – but you get irrationally mad, right? And I don't think it's wrong to feel that way about these Buffalo Bills. Because you know what? You know who's been around a lot longer than my kid? You know who's been around a lot longer than my wife? You know who's been around a lot longer than you or Cassie or anything? Is my love for the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
You know what? And
can't
so I've spent more emotional energy with almost anything. Maybe my kid and my wife. Maybe my kid, definitely my wife, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, Rick. Baby, you number one. Girl, I love you, okay? But the point is that we're allowed. We are allowed as human beings to have emotional attachment to something that we have loved for this long. There was a line in some movie that said, hey, I've loved her for longer than I've ever known you.
Hmm.
Right? And, like, that was a sign that, like, yeah, you're great, but this is my heart.
Yeah.
Right? And if someone tries to take your heart, you grab them by the fucking throat, Lars.
Well, in this conversation with my boss, who, by the way, like, wears it on her sleeve that she doesn't like sports, doesn't follow sports. She's like, I don't follow sports ball. Like, she says that shit all the time. And the account that we work on together is challenging, and we do have to work on holidays a lot. And she said something like, and we'd all like to be with our families on Thanksgiving and Christmas. You don't get to be with your football team on the Super Bowl. And I wanted to look her in the eye and be like, Thanksgiving and Christmas come every year.
Every year.
My team being in the Super Bowl does not, and it will not. And I can't rely on that. There is no date on the calendar where I would know it's going to happen again. But it wasn't worth going because she doesn't get it. But I have explained to her, and to your point,
it's like your family doesn't get when you're in love, right? Like,
yeah.
Your family doesn't get it. Like, that's the thing. Like, once you're in love, you're in love.
But for me, Suge,
I'm in love with these Buffalo Bills.
I am too, and it's a visceral thing. But for me, it's also a conscious thing because I tell people like this boss that, like, I need something in my life that I love unconditionally and that I don't think critically about and that I'm completely unobjective about. And that's the Buffalo Bills. For some people, it's religion. For some people, it's fucking Star Wars. That, like, I will never yuck somebody's yum for whatever they're into.
You're definitely critical about the Bills.
But for what I'm not critical about is, like,
your love for them.
No, like, concussion protocol or, like, yeah, but you know these guys are all criminals. Or, like, they're I don't want to know. Like, there have been a lot of, like, crisis comms or, like, director of comms jobs with Pagula S&E that come, people send them to me all the time. And I'm like, no, I don't want to know. I want to keep myself at arm's length from the reality of this team because I know, but I don't want to know because the less I know, the better, because I have to have this thing. I have to have this. This is my thing. This is the thing that I don't, like, try to pick apart, and I don't try to find holes in the theory. Like, no, like, it's the Bills.
Don't you dare take this away from me.
Yeah, we've been doing this podcast since 2009. I'm on record predicting, seriously, a record of 12-4 from the years 2011 through 2016. I actually thought this team was going to go 12-4 because I refuse to exercise that part of my brain, which, by the way, infiltrates and takes over everything else in my life. There isn't a thing out there in any way, shape, or form that I don't think about objectively and break down and criticize
and be rational about,
not these Buffalo Bills, goddammit. And that is a conscious choice because I need this.
I am a scientist and I feel the same way. That's the thing. It's all I do is rational thought. But it's nice to just love. Just love.
And then when we play the Patriots twice a year.
Why is that? That's why we're angry.
We get our hearts ripped out.
That's why we're angry. Because you know what? We came into this game with analytics and with our position and our defense rating and their defense rating and our offense rating and their offense rating. And how much we played them before and how we played Baltimore before.
And this game doesn't mean anything. And on paper, it doesn't matter. Who cares? It doesn't matter if we win or not.
And that's why your heart gets broken. Because you know what? When Jimmy Smith, I think that's a character from the West Wing. But when Jimmy shows up at the prom with the girl that you hate, then your heart is broken if you're a girl. I'm saying it took a female
view. I'm lost.
Whatever. What I'm shit. I fucking ruined it. All right. The point is that you can be fine. You can be fine, right? But when the girl that you really like, not the girl you brought to prom, but when the girl you really like shows up to prom with this guy,
the other guy,
your heart's broken.
Yeah.
You shouldn't care. You got a beautiful girl on your arm.
Who you're not even, she doesn't exist.
Yeah. She should.
Yeah, she should, but she can't.
We should be really excited about the fact that we're 10-5?
Yeah.
Jesus, we're 10-5. We got a playoff berth locked up. We're going to play Houston, who we can beat.
Yeah.
Right? And here we are, fretting. I'm ready to choke a goddamn Pats fan. I'm ready to kill this one little Asian girl that's being racist at my table. And I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Cassie is so mad that she won't join the podcast. And Jeff is saying that this is one of the worst disappointments of his Bills career. Why?
What?
We are one of the best teams that we've ever been, and we're that emotionally upset.
And it's not a fluke.
It's because we love this fucking team.
and we will continue to love this team, and we will make this team better if it is from nothing else than the absolute love that we will shed upon this team to build them to the next level. And Bitter Pops is getting quiet, and I don't give a goddamn right now. You know what? Because Megan behind the bar and Mike who owns the fucking bar and I don't know who's running the front door, but it doesn't matter because you know what? Because the Buffalo Bills and Bills and Beers will be the foundation that makes the rest of this Buffalo Bills run forever. You know what? Sean McDermott put in the process. Sean McDermott put in the process, and these players put in the heart. We, as the Bills Mafia and the Bills and Beers crew, will give you the fire. Mm. We'll give you the fuel with which to take this team into fucking outer space.
Whoa. Well, we're at home next week.
Fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets. Bring me those playoffs.
But they will be feeling the Buffalo love. This will be the last. Barring something insane, this will be the last home game of 2019. So bring the Buffalo love and find us on all the places where podcasts are available and on social media and tell everybody you know about our podcast. Leave a review if you liked it. And if you didn't,
go fucking Bills.
Yeah. Let's go Buffalo. Let's go Buffalo. The Bills make me wanna shout.